BBC Radio 4. Now our classic serial, the second episode of a new adaptation of Thomas Hardy's classic novel of rural life and love, Far From the Madding Crowd.
Excellent day for your ceremony, Sergeant Troy.
It is passing good.
We always have a good congregation for a wedding at All Saints.
Indeed.
Though they know not the couple, it being such a fond occasion. We must complete your service by 11:45. There's a ceremony of baptism taking place at that time.
I see.
Oh, you have no music with your service, Sergeant.
At my request.
Very well. I see that you are with the regiment recently arrived from Casterbridge.
You are observant, sir.
I know my parish.
And I know my business.
I must repair to the vestry. Things to arrange. Pray, alert me when the bride arrives.
Never worry.
I thought the church with the spire was All Saints. And I was at the door at 11:30 to a minute, as you said. And then I found that I was at All Souls. Frank! I thought it could be tomorrow just as well as today. So I wasn't much worried. Shall it be tomorrow?
I don't go through that experience again, Fanny.
But the mistake was not such a terrible thing. Dear Frank, when shall it be?
God only knows.
Frank! Oh, Frank!
I am Bathsheba Everdeen.
Everdeen.
Upper Wetherbury Farm. Wetherbury.
There, miss. Stock will be delivered in a week's time.
Miss.
Liddy, I'm working. I must now make a sale.
I don't think Mr. Bulwood's taken his eyes off you since you walked into the market.
Really?
No, no, you can't look round, miss. Let me be your eyes in this case.
Well, that's as it should be. You have been a part of the game and now it's afoot.
I didn't write no Valentine to him.
You set me onto it all, Liddy.
It was your seal, miss, not mine.
Oh, I don't wish that we should tease him. He's such a respectable man. Might we apologise?
I shan't be apologising, miss.
Liddy, should I?
If I were Mr. Bulwood, I'd be the more upset by an apology. Oh. I might think an apology were more like an encouragement.
There she goes. Miss, keep your eye on her coming out.
I have her, Gabriel.
Another one coming in, boys.
Push her down, lads. Get her face under.
Get her face, sir.
Joseph, watch out.
Stop. No.
Hey, Jim's got under.
Enjoy a second baptism.
Oh, damn her eyes.
Hey, you mind your mouth, Joseph Horgrass. Miss Everdeen is in earshot.
Oh, pardon, ma'am.
I heard nothing, Joseph.
Go on, boys. Push her through. There. Down, girl. Right, that's her. There she goes.
Another one.
Another coming.
I'll need you to count those as already come through, miss. Get her down, boys.
I'll do that directly, David. Lydie? Lydie? Yeah. Stay in the field there and we'll count the sheep that have been washed.
Morning.
Miss Farmer Bulb, we're coming down.
Come to old Bessie.
Good morning.
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Mr. Bulb. Come on, boys, keep them coming through.
Well, going well, Oak?
Well enough in the good weather, thank you, sir.
Oh, it'll be a different story, sir, Roy, this wet and a cold day.
That's a splendid spectacle. Is some Mistress Liberty with you at all?
She has been helping, and is present up yonder with the flock. Boys, watch out there.
My flock need their washing. I must attend to that soon.
Edie, who's got our line there, boy?
Let me offer you back in. Here, come here, you.
Let me help. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Katie, pull her back down now.
Oh. I'm just for a walk.
Sir.
Would you mind if my horse doesn't wander?
Sir.
This one's getting stuck there.
Pull her back down, boys.
I'll be a moment, Oak.
Mr. Boldwood not helping then.
Someone else on his mind when I look at him.
Yeah. Keep yours on the work now. Get her under. Close. Yeah. For another one, keep them coming.
Three. 34. 35. 36.
Miss Everdeen.
37.
Miss Everdeen, wait.
38. 39.
Miss Everdeen, good morning.
Mr. Boldwood, I'm in the midst of counting the flock and I was keeping my tally. 40. 41.
Miss Everdeen?
Yes, Mr. Boldwood. 43, I think.
I have come to speak to you without preface.
Ah. Then speak you must.
Yes. My life is not my own since I have beheld you clearly, Miss Everdeen.
Oh. Oh, sir. Liddy! Liddy, you may go home now.
Yes, miss, I will.
You have heard me, Miss Everdeen.
Yes. I needed to be sure that we are in private.
Miss Everdeen, I come to make you an offer of marriage. I am 41 years old. I have been a confirmed bachelor, but we all change, and my change came with seeing you.
Mr. Boldwood, it is painful to have to say that I'm surprised, so that I don't know how to answer you.
Well, I should not have spoken out had I not been led to hope.
Oh, Mr. Boldwood, forgive me. I should never have sent you that valentine. It was a wanton thing which no woman with any self-respect should have done. If you will only pardon my thoughtlessness.
Don't say thoughtlessness.
But thoughtless it was.
Make me think it was some prophetic instinct that you would like me.
I have not fallen in love with you, Mr. Boldwood.
But you may. You may. Beyond all things, I want you for my wife.
I'm afraid the men will notice us, Mr. Boldwood.
I will take more care of you than many a man of your own age. You'll be worried by no household affairs. You'll never have to look out of doors at haymaking time.
Will you let the matter rest now, please? I cannot think collectedly.
Yet I feel almost too much to think, Miss Everdeen. My life is a burden without you.
Oh, I am wicked to have made you suffer so.
Say then that you don't absolutely refuse, that I may think of you?
Yes. Yes, I suppose you may think of me.
That is all I desire for the present.
I must return to the sheep washing.
I will call upon you again tomorrow.
Oh, no. No, please. Give me time.
Then I will. I'll wait. Good day, Miss Everdeen. Bathsheba. Good day.
You all did think that things was afoot then.
Things was. And he's playing out still.
A little steadier, Caney.
Caney? Caney.
Ma'am?
Will you go to the Lower Mead for me and catch the bay mare?
But Shepherd Oak needs me turning the winch for the grinding.
Please fetch the mare, go on.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to speak to you, Gabriel.
I have to work on, miss.
Then let me help. What must I do?
Simply all the shears to the stone.
Right.
I'll turn the winch.
Gabriel, did the men make any observations yesterday on myself and Mr. Boldwood?
You don't hold the shears right, miss. Hold them this way. Climb the edge, so. Hold your hands like this. There.
Loose my hands, please.
Oh, just to show.
Yes, but I won't have them held.
Very well, miss.
Now, turn the winch. I want to know, Gabriel. Do the men find it odd?
Not odd, miss.
But what do they say?
Well, they say that Farmer Boldwood's name and yourn are likely to be flung over pulpit before the year is out.
Oh, do they?
They do.
Well, I can have no ear for gossip. You must command the shearing, Gabriel. I need your service there.
I will, miss. Never fear.
Miss Everdeen, the horse here.
Thank you, Kaney. Good day to you both.
Good day, miss.
Miss.
Did you boys ever see things in so much order on our farm as he was then?
I don't rightly think so.
No.
It was a fair scene for the shearing under Gabe, I'll grant you that.
Kaney, watch out here, will you? A sheep has gone unstamped.
I'll catch her, shepherd.
Gabriel! What might have been confusion sees all order here.
We have a pattern, and each is playing their part.
There's such skill in your work. It looks like you're going to nip the skin every moment, and yet you don't.
It is long learnt and slow forgot.
I think you're the quickest in the barn.
How long do you think that one took, miss?
I watched the clock. 3:20 and a half since you took the first lock from its forehead.
Kenny Ball!
Yes, Mr. Og. Here I be.
Put her letters on.
Can I take up that fleece, shepherd?
All right, it's all done, Marianne. Joseph Poorgrass, where's the next of the flock?
Coming in, shepherd.
Come on, then. All right, Savvy. I shall see if I can beat that time now, ma'am.
Mistress is not here, shepherd.
Where's she floated off to now, then?
Over there, by the door. Farmer Baldwood looks like a man in a dream.
No, I believe they're discussing the shearing. He has his own flock to look to.
Then why be she looking at the floor? And as pink as that poor ewe with her blushing.
Take that fleece away, Marianne. Come on now.
I think he is asking her to ride out alongside him.
Oh, I've nicked this one. Bottle.
Oh, Gabriel. You are so strict with the other men. See what you're doing yourself.
Won't happen again. Not if Marianne stops talking.
Well, I'm going now to see Mr. Baldwood's cattle. Take my place in the barn when you finish that one, Gabriel, and keep the men carefully to their work.
Kane, you finish this one while I take a drink. I'm sorry.
You ask me. That means matrimony.
But the miller's lovely daughter, both from cold and care was free, on the banks of Allen Water, there a corpse lay she.
Thank you, all of you. I think now is my time to retire. I wish you all a good evening and much thanks again for such a sheep shearing. And to Shepherd Oak, above all.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, miss. Thank you.
Good man, Oak. You've done Miss Everdeen proud. Miss Everdeen?
Shepherd, you be coming along to the mold house?
I think I may just be passing to my bed now, Jan, with thanks. It was a hard day and a long one.
With their Shepherd Oak.
Well, there have been music enough tonight.
She'd be gone in her parlour now. I do think our mistress has been proposed to.
Do you?
She have made him notice, sir, shepherd, and he have looked and fallen hard.
Yep. Good night, Lady Smallbury.
I will try to love you.
Bathsheba, I knew you could.
I have every reason to hope that at the end of 5 or 6 weeks, between tonight and harvest supper, while you're away from home, I will be able to promise to be your wife.
Thank you. Thank you.
But remember this distinctly. I don't promise yet.
I can wait on those words.
And now I'd ask you to take your leave of me for that time. I am tired and need to rest.
Leave-taking is no sorrow when my life... our lives are to be transformed. Your hand. Good night, my dear Bathsheba. I can wait.
Was there ever a man see more in love?
Who's that, then? Gabriel Oak?
Don't you go making mischief now, Henry Frey.
Henry's not the one who's stirred mischief in this village.
And ain't it you, Jan, that could have cut it off at the root?
Well, maybe it is. Miss Everdeen?
Oh, Jan, you should be at your rest now.
I was only checking round the yard. You've no need, miss.
You know that I do my round each night. Everyone is gone now.
Oi. Well, thank you. For your feast.
And thank you for your labours. I may yet walk down by the church side.
'Tis black as the ninth plague of Egypt.
I have much to consider. Good night, Jan.
Good night, miss.
Gabriel, is that you again? Gabriel, is it?
Someone there.
Good night to you.
I'm starred upon my soul. Oh. It's so dark. Have I hurt you, miss?
No.
We got hitched together somehow, I think.
Yes.
I have a dark lantern here. I'll open it and set you free. Oh, well. My spur has become entangled in your dress's border. I'll unfasten you in one moment,
no,
miss.
No, I can do it, thank you.
You are a prisoner, miss. I must cut your dress if you're in such a hurry.
Then please, yes, quickly.
It wouldn't be necessary if you'd wait a moment. And, might I thank you for the sight of such a beautiful face?
It was unwillingly shown.
I think I like you better for that incivility.
Go on your way, please.
What, and drag you after me?
I insist upon undoing it immediately.
If you pull too hard, you'll leave that dress behind.
Oh, this insults me.
Well, I've seen a good many women in my time, but I've never seen one as beautiful as you.
Sir!
Take it or leave it, be offended or like it, I don't care.
There! Tis done.
Your light fingers were more eager than mine. Goodbye, beauty.
Liddy? Yes, ma'am. I must ask you, just before I retire, is any soldier staying in the village? A sergeant, I think, in a red coat with blue facings.
It might be Sergeant Troy, home on leave.
What, with a moustache?
He had last time I saw him.
What kind of person is he?
Oh, miss, I blush to name it. Such a clever young dandy is. Doctor's son by name, but an earl's son by nature, they say.
Is that true?
I think it may be. He was brought up so well, sent to Casterbridge Grammar, but he wasted his lot and listed a soldier. And is he home, then?
I believe so, for I saw such a man and had not seen him in the village before.
Oh.
Tis nothing. Good night, Liddy.
Night, miss.
Mark Clark! You want to stop chuntering there by the wagon and get over the hay gathering?
Good morning, Jan.
Morning, miss.
I feel I should be out with you all today.
There'll be folk of Bill from far around this. You might be best going across the hay wagon and letting people who's not from the farm know you among them.
I will, Jan.
Here's one coming over now.
Ah, Miss Everdeen. The Queen of Casterbridge Corn Market. Little did I think I was speaking to you the other night. I step across to beg your forgiveness for having been led by my feelings to express myself too strongly to a stranger.
I should think so, Sergeant.
Though I am myself no stranger to Weatherby Farm. I helped your uncle in these fields no end of times as a lad. I've been doing the same for you this morning.
Then I suppose I must thank you for that.
Why would such a thing be necessary?
I'm just going to go and talk to the workers now.
Then I am glad it is not. I would not want to have to thank you for anything.
Well, that such ill luck should follow a man for honestly telling a woman she is beautiful.
Oh, you are conceited, Sergeant.
You are thinking badly of me this morning when I am working hard to save your hay.
Thank you for helping, but please do not speak to me in that way or in any other unless I speak to you.
If you ask me, I'll obey. But you've never been a man looking upon a woman like you. You'll never know what such an experience is. It's not being able to think, hear, or look in any direction except one without wretchedness.
You are too dashing to be true.
No, I loved you at once.
There's no such feeling.
There is. The lightning works instantaneously.
Oh, this is dreadful. My workfolk see you following me about the field and are wondering.
Will you speak to me while I stay in Weatherby?
I don't know.
Will you let me work in your fields?
If it is any pleasure to you.
Miss Everdeen, it is all my pleasure. I thank you.
Oh, do not salute me.
No, if I am your soldier and your worker. Goodbye.
We all saw, and we all stood by.
As last night.
He was lying down last night, Joseph Poorgrass, and seeing nothing but the inside of your eyelids.
I know Frank Troy as a young man, and one of promise.
Book learned, weren't he?
Both, why? Proper. Left Weatherby a year or two since.
Well, he come back, and he were acting a gallant.
Aye, when the cat's away.
Miss?
Oh, Liddy. I was reading and daydreaming here in the garden, but I must have fallen asleep.
You were working in the fields this morning?
Yes, and not so hard as others.
Miss, you see in the orchard, the bees have landed.
Ah, yes. I was watching. They were swarming around that costard bough.
Oh, when they land, they grow so dense.
Well, the ladder stands against the tree, and the hive is dressed and ready.
Miss, you're not going to do it yourself.
Everyone else is busy with the hay, and you yourself are as occupied as any.
Yes, miss, I am. The chores that need doing when all are away.
I will be quite all right. I'm sure I can do what any farmhand might.
Yes, miss. You be careful.
Miss Everdeen? Miss Everdeen, let me assist you.
My lord.
Miss Everdeen, you should not attempt such a thing alone.
Sergeant, I believe I am quite capable.
Belief is not execution. How fortunate I am to have dropped in at this moment.
What? And will you shake the bees in for me?
Why, of course.
Ah, yes. Well, thank you. That's very kind. Sergeant, you must have on the veil and gloves, or you'll be stung fearfully.
Very well, but will you kindly show me how to fix them properly?
I will. Stand still, Sergeant, as if you were on parade.
I am at the ready.
There. You must have the broad-brimmed hat, too.
The broad-brimmed hat. By all means.
And I must just fix the veil. Well.
I'm sure I look an extraordinary object. Then let me advance up the ladder and escape your ridicule.
Oh, don't frighten them!
I am as a shepherd to his flock.
You need most of the swarm swept into the hive and the rest will follow.
Yes. Well, the honey seems to hold them already. Here. Come on now. Come on. Oh, blast you. Thing. There, Well, I've reached a number. Others follow. May I descend now?
You should, I think.
Yeah, upon my life, I should. Let me set the hive upon the ground. Holding it makes one's arm ache worse than a week of sword exercise. Would you be good enough to untie me and let me out?
I've never seen that you speak of.
The sword exercise?
Yes. I've heard reports from those who have seen the regiment in the barracks yard at Casterbridge.
Would you like to watch it?
I should. Very much.
Then you shall see me go through it.
How? Not with a walking stick.
No. I have no sword here, but I could get one by this evening.
Oh.
Might you walk out with me to the heath? It needs room enough and no distracting watchers.
No, indeed, I could not. Not on any account.
But, Miss Everdeen, nobody would know.
If I were to, I might bring Liddy, might I not?
I don't see why you'd want to bring her.
Well, perhaps. Perhaps I'll come, but only for a short time, a very short time.
It will not take 5 minutes, not five. Till this evening, then, Miss Everdeen.
Shepherd Oak were asking all around about Sergeant Troy.
Was he now?
Must have been a torture for the man.
What must be Henry Frey?
To be working for a woman that suffers distractions.
I have an idea young Troy took up as a lawyer's clerk in Casterbridge.
Aye, and lasted no time there before he took the shilling.
Frey, I think the future is tomorrow and never's a day after.
They say he only worked because his parents were poor and his benefactor died.
To think he's a son of the gentry.
Well, 'tis all a romance once he starts looking in people's pasts.
Then I reckon yours be the legends of King Arthur, maltster.
Miss Everdeen.
I wasn't going to come, but I thought that I would disappoint you.
I wouldn't like to be disappointed.
I saw you across the hill as you came here. A red spot as the sun dropped.
I'm conspicuous in these parts.
As am I in my way.
Well, we are here for a display, and I've secured a weapon from a comrade in Casterbridge. Please, Miss Everdeen, sit on the grass. We can't be seen in this hollow.
I shall, then.
Well, now, the display drill. First, we have four right and four left cuts. Then four right and four left thrusts. Our cut one, as if you were sowing corn. So, cut two, as if you were hedging. Three, as if reaping. Four, as if threshing. The same on the left. One, two, three, four. Now, more interesting is if I play loose and give you all the cuts and points as if you were my antagonist.
I?
Yes, Miss Everdeen. You said that you'd heard from witnesses to this event. Did they not mention this?
Not that they became your enemy.
Please stand. There is one difference from real warfare, that I shall miss you by a hair's breadth. Mind you don't flinch, whatever you do.
Well, I will not. Whatever have you done?
Nothing. No, you're not afraid, are you? I give you my word that I will not hurt you.
Oh, you are quite sure. Will you do it again?
Once more. Only stand still as a statue. The blade is very sharp. Now. Oh! That outer loose lock of hair wants tidying. Still. Bravely born. You didn't flinch a shade's thickness.
You've spoilt my hair.
Now, once more.
No, I'm afraid of you.
Still again.
Oh, I'm killed at last.
No. Though something dies. Look, I killed that caterpillar settling on your bosom. There it is on the point of the blade.
If I had moved.
My dear Miss Everdeen, you have been within half an inch of being pared alive.
Oh, cruel, it is cruel of you.
No, because my sword never fails. I have finished. May I venture to take and keep this lock of hair in remembrance of you?
I'm quite undone.
Miss Everdeen, I fear I must be leaving you. That thing you had not seen, you have now witnessed. A farewell kiss. Goodbye.
Gabriel, good evening.
Miss, I thought I'd come and meet you as it is rather late.
You knew I was out?
I did. And as a man who would naturally come to meet you is away from home, I thought, I'll go.
I don't understand.
Naturally, being on account of the wedding, they now say is likely to take place between you.
I must be at home now to instruct Liddy on tomorrow's events.
Forgive me for speaking plainly.
I've not promised Mr. Baldwood anything. He's urged me to marry him, but I've given him no distinct answer, and that is all there is to say.
I wish you had not met young Sergeant Troy, miss. He's not good enough for you.
I know him to be well-born and an educated man.
Then he's on a downward course, miss. I pray you not to trust him.
Pray?
Yes.
He's a thoroughly conscientious man, blunt even to rudeness, but plain-speaking to your face. He's as good as anybody in this parish.
Bathsheba, I beg you to keep yourself well honoured among the workfolk. You should be more discreet in your bearing to this soldier.
I don't wish to hear your lecturing.
You know that a short time since now my position was as good as yours. I hate to take my own measure so plain, but you provoke a man to say what he shouldn't dream of speaking.
Was.
Yes.
Will you leave me alone now, Gabriel? I don't order it as a mistress, though I remain that to you. I ask it as a woman, and I know you not to be so uncourteous as to refuse.
And I will. I will.
If he marry her, she'll give up farming.
Oh, it will be a gallant life, but we'll bring some trouble behind the mirth.
Well, I wish I had half such a husband.
I heard her chatter. Who are you speaking of?
No one, miss.
Do not lie to me, Marianne Money.
What was passing was a bit of a word about yourself, miss.
I heard it. I forbid it.
Yes, miss.
You know I don't care the least for Sergeant Troy. Everybody knows how much I hate him.
We know you do, miss, and so do we all.
I hate him too.
Oh, you perjured woman! You admired him from your heart aloud only this morning!
Don't you be laughing, Marianne Money. Oh, miss, I'm sorry we mistook you so. I did think perhaps you care for him, but I see you don't now.
Shut the door, Liddy.
You always say such foolery, miss.
Oh, Liddy, are you a simpleton?
Miss?
Liddy, I love him to very distraction and misery and agony.
Oh, miss.
Don't be frightened at me. Come closer. Closer. Solemnly swear to me that he's not a fast man. That it is all lies that they say about him.
Oh, but miss, how can I say he's not if he is?
But he cannot be as bad as it's said. You don't believe he is?
If I say no, miss, you won't believe me. And if I say yes, you'll rage at me.
Oh. I wish I'd never seen him.
Oh. Mind you this, Lydia Smallbury. If you repeat anywhere a single word of what I have said, I'll never trust you or love you or have you with me a moment longer.
Yes, miss.
Now go.
Yes, miss. I don't wish to stay with you if I be put upon and stormed at for nothing.
No. You must not notice my being in a taking just now, Lydia. You're not as a servant. You're a companion to me.
Miss, you frighten me.
What shall I come to? I wonder sometimes if I'm doomed to die in the Union. I'm friendless enough, God knows.
Miss, I won't notice or say about anything. Nor will I leave you.
Try to think I'm a good man, won't you, dear Liddy?
I will, miss. And I'll always be your friend. I think God likes us to be friends, don't you?
Indeed, I do. Now, Sergeant Troy has gone to Bath on furlough and returns later in the week, and yes, I await his return. Liddy, you go to your sister's tomorrow.
Yes, miss.
Then I think I shall visit you there, as I've long promised. I've a desire to be away from Wetherby. I've written to Mr. Boldwood.
Oh.
So it may be best if I'm not at home when he receives my letter. I might then take some further rest somewhere of my own planning. I'd not wish to burden your sister.
'Twill be no burden, miss.
You may leave when you're ready in the morning. I'll walk over in the afternoon.
Very well, miss. And, dear miss, you won't storm at me again, will you? Because you seem to swell so tall as a lion then, and it frightens me. I fancy you'd be a match for any man when you're in one of your takings.
Do you?
I wish I had half your failing that way. It is a great protection to a poor maid in these illegitimate days.
My Liddy let on about that. Reckons I've never seen mistress like it.
Seen were well set, then.
Oh, who's...
What? Are you afraid of me?
No.
You looked so.
No.
It is most strange, such a contrast with my feeling for you.
Mr. Baldwin, I'm but walking to Yalbury to visit Liddy Smallbury's sister, and I never expected...
You know what my feeling is. No dismissal by a hasty letter affects it.
I'm sorry. I wish you didn't feel so strongly about me. It's generous and more than I deserve.
But what do you think I'm going to say?
I cannot guess.
Your letter was excellently plain, Miss Everdeen. I am not to marry you. And that's enough? I want you to hear nothing more.
Then good afternoon, sir. I still have a way to walk.
It is final indeed?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, Bathsheba, don't throw me off. You turned to me before I thought of you.
But I never sought this.
There was a time when I knew nothing of you and cared nothing for you, but you drew me on.
Mr. Baldwood, the Valentine was the childish game of an idle minute, and I have bitterly repented of
it. Since then, how dearly you've spoken to me at the shearing and the last time at your home in the evening.
Mr. Baldwood, I've promised you nothing.
Oh, God, you had never taken me up only to throw me down.
I did not take you up. I'm sorry, Mr. Baldwood, but I have no love to give you.
You'd hide from me that you have a burning heart like mine.
I don't possess half the warmth of nature you believe me to. An unprotected childhood in a cold world has beaten gentleness out of me. Please, I must continue on my way.
You've love enough.
No. You overrate that capacity in me.
But it is turned into a new channel. Why did he not win you away before? When nobody would have been grieved and nobody set tale-bearing. Now people sneer and the very hills and sky seem to laugh at me.
Mr. Baldwood.
Woman's folly, indeed. Dazzled by brass and scarlet.
Mr. Baldwood, it's unmanly to attack a woman so. Everybody is upon me. I've no one in the world to fight my battles for me, but no mercy is shown.
He has kissed you. Deny he has kissed you.
I shall not.
Then he has. When I would have given worlds just to kiss your hand, you've let a rake come in and kiss you. I'll punish him by my soul.
Mr. Baldwood, you are in an ecstasy and you
must... I pray God he may not come into my sight.
It's a day for it, and no mistake.
A day for what, Henry Frey?
A day for standing in the sun and not working too hard, by the looks of it.
No, it is an harmonious crew that works with their mistress away and gone.
Tis nervous, needs a bailey, and no mistake.
Who's that? Running across field?
Blue coat and brass buttons flying.
Tis Caney.
Oh, tis too.
Oh, I hope there's nothing wrong with Bout Mistress.
Why would you think there was aught wrong?
I had a letter saying she'd be away a week longer with Liddy's sister.
King ain't been to Yalbury.
Now then, Caney Ball.
What tis, Mr. Og?
Get your breath now, boy.
I've been visiting the Bath because I had a felon on my thumb, yes? I've seen the world at last.
Oh, aye. Bath be the world entire.
And I've seen our mistress.
What did I not say?
What did you see, Kay?
I've seen our mistress in Bath going into a sort of park place where there's seats and shrubs and flowers. And I think... I only think, mind, but it's what I think. I think...
Get on with it, boy.
Her was arm in crook with a soldier.
You sure 'twas her?
Sure as sunrise. And I think the soldier was Sergeant Troy.
Oh.
And they two, they sat there together for more than half an hour talking moving things, and she once was crying almost to death. And when they come out, her eyes were shining and they looked into one another's faces as far gone friendly as a man and woman can be.
Well, I'll be.
What did you see else?
Oh, great glass windows to the shops, and they never need to light their fires except as a luxury, for the water springs up out of the earth ready boiled for use.
Oh, you've heard that of other navigators. Don't victuals spring up as well as drink?
No, and I own it a blot there in Bath.
Miss and the soldier were walking about together.
Aye, and her in her beautiful gown and her hair brushed splendid and his red coat. How handsome they looked. You could see him all the length of the street.
And after you see them, then what?
Well, I seed a clock with a face as big as a baking trendle.
Candy ball.
Well, I didn't see Miss Everdeen after that at all.
Our mistress has too much sense to do such a mad thing.
Kenny, can you swear, in the most awful form, that the woman you saw was Miss Everdeen?
In common truth, 'twas. But in the horrible so help me truth that ye want to make of it, perhaps 'twas somebody else.
Then there's no getting the rights of it. Back to work. Let Caney dwell on the kingdom of Bath in peace.
Well, 'twas a place. 'Twas a place indeed.
Well, Caney ain't one to tell a word from t'other, but he had it right that time.
Aye. And I could see it in old Gabe Oak's face.
I saw it next night when Mistress come home.
Neighbour Oak?
Evening.
You not home yet?
Just looking over things before lock up while Mistress is away.
You Bailey then?
No, but I was asked to keep an eye.
An eye? Well, have you seen what's coming on Lane? I do believe you'll be able to rest now. Evening, Mistress! Nothing to say to the likes of us.
I expect her to have much to say to us in the morning.
Mayhap.
I shall be heading home, Henry Frey.
I'll go along with thee. Oh, and look who'll be passing. Evening, Mr. Boldwood.
Oh, good evening, man.
Good evening, Mr. Boldwood.
I haven't seen he around these past weeks.
And you know?
What be he up to, I wonder?
Maybe out visiting a neighbour. What's to be wondered at in that?
What indeed.
Sergeant?
Sergeant? Sergeant Troy?
Yes, I am he.
Just arrived, I think. I saw you at the carrier's.
What is it to you?
I am William Boldwood.
Indeed.
Well, I wish to speak a word with you about her who lives just ahead there, and about a woman you have wronged.
I wonder, sir, at your impertinence.
Now look here. Wonder or not, you're going to hold a conversation with me.
Very well, only speak low, for somebody may overhear us in the farmhouse.
I know of your attachment to Fanny Robin. I believe I may be the only person in the village excepting Gabriel Oak.
I will not ask you what business of yours it is.
You, sir, ought to marry Fanny Robin.
Well, I wish to marry her, but cannot.
Why?
I am too poor.
I'll settle a sum of money upon her. Take up your bag, turn about, and leave Weatherbury tonight. I'll say at the carrier's house that you no longer need a room. Take £50 tonight, and Fanny shall have 50 to prepare for the wedding. And 500... on her wedding day. Do you agree?
I do.
You do?
Yes. I love Fanny best. But she... Miss Everdeen inflamed me for a while, but... it is over.
Here. 50 sovereigns.
You have the money ready.
I was prepared.
I saw you and knew that if I couldn't appeal to your honour, I could trust to your shrewdness.
Stop a moment. Listen. By George, tis she. I must go on now and meet her.
Who?
Bathsheba, of course. She's walking there in her garden.
Well, why must you meet her?
She's expecting me tonight, and I must now say goodbye to her, according to your wish.
I don't see the necessity of your speaking.
It can do no harm, can it? You'll hear all I say to her. It will help in your lovemaking when I am gone.
But shall I hear every word you say?
Everyone. Now sit still here and hold my bag for me and mark what you hear.
Frank? Dearest, is that you?
Yes, my love.
How late you are.
I'm sorry, I was delayed talking to an acquaintance.
Did you come by the carrier?
Yes, you knew I was sure to.
It is so lucky, for I've just this moment returned and there's not a soul in the house but me tonight. Lydia's at her grandfather's until the morning. Oh, Frank, come inside.
I'd better go back to the carrier's for my bag. You run back into the house while I fetch it and I'll be in your parlour in 10 minutes.
Yes, my darling.
Now, shall I tell her I've come to give her up?
Oh.
I can't marry them both. Perhaps I am a bad man.
You have to marry her.
Though I shall be a slave to her, for she has a temper.
She'll make a good wife. Troy, I'll do anything for you. Please, you must secure her at once.
I don't wish to.
I will settle 500 on Bathsheba instead of Fanny. On your wedding day.
And I might have nothing today.
I have £21 more with me. 2 notes and a sovereign.
Pay me that and I'll head to her parlour and confirm exactly the arrangement you wish for. Oh. Though she must know nothing of this crude cash business.
Oh, no, of course.
Here, will you read this a moment? I know the light fails, but you'll make it out.
Speak to her. What need I read?
Please, read it aloud.
On the 17th instant, Bath. Francis Troy, Sergeant 11th Dragoons. To Bathsheba Everdeen of Weatherbury.
So, £50 to marry Fanny. Good. 21 not to, but to marry Bathsheba. Good. And then... already Bathsheba's husband.
Husband?
Bad as I am not such a villain as to make the marriage or misery of any woman a matter of sale. And now that I've taught you a lesson, take your money back again.
If that were the night she returned, then 'twas next morning I was face to face with him. Me and Gabe Oak walk in the field.
Morning, comrades!
Well, damn my eyes. Look at him. Greeting the day like he owns it.
She have married him.
Morning! Say good morning. Keep the man civil.
Good morning, Sergeant Troy.
They may not be married. Perhaps she's not there.
It is a rambling, gloomy old house, this. I feel like new wine in an old bottle.
It's a nice house. Fine house.
The sash windows should be put through and the walls papered. I'm for making this place more modern, that we may be cheerful whilst we can.
Yeah, well, good luck to you, mistress, from all of us, I'm sure.
No, I shall be down in the fields later. We shall, of course, keep on just as friendly terms as usual. Here's a half crown to drink my health, men.
You keep that coin, Coggan. I'll do without his gifts.
Now it's jolly good luck to the barrel, good luck to the barley bow. Jolly good luck to the barrel, good luck to the barley bow. The barrel, half barrel, bushel, half bushel, gallon, half gallon, quart, pipe, pipe, half pint, gill, pint, half gill, quart, gill. Don't you know that? There's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley bow.
Oak, come in there and make merry with us. I think the farm is all gathered.
No, ma'am. I asked what dance you'd like next.
Oh, really? It makes no difference. Just play, please.
Then I'll mention a name that the right and proper thing is the soldier's joy. Let being a gallant soldier married into the farm.
Thank you for the compliment, man. For though I've purchased my discharge, I shall continue a soldier in spirit as long as I live. Play on.
My love, come.
Oh, no, I feel quite exhausted. And, Frank, I wonder, is it time that you slowed your drinking?
The night is only beginning, my darling.
Sergeant Troy, sir.
Shepherd Oak needs to speak with you.
Shepherd Oak needs to join the dance.
Well, he says he only stepped in to say that a heavy rain is sure to fall soon, and that something should be done to protect the wreck.
Tell him it will not rain, and I cannot stop to talk to him about such fidgets. I'll stop the music!
Frank.
Friends, it is not only the harvest home that we are celebrating tonight, but this is also our wedding feast. A short time ago, I had the happiness to lead to the altar this lady, your mistress. And not until now have we been able to give any public flourish to the event. I have ordered to be brought here some bottles of brandy and kettles of hot water to supersede your cider and your ale. Yes, and a treble-strong goblet will be handed around to each guest.
Oh, no, pray don't give that to them, Frank. It will only do them harm. They've had enough of everything.
Oh, we don't wish for any more. Thank you, sir.
Nonsense. Friends, we'll send the women folk home to bed. If any of the men show the white feather, well, let them look elsewhere for work. The women leave. Now come, men, strike up the band!
Jan Coggan. Joseph Progress. Henry Frey. Billy Smallbury. Billy, where's the thatching beetle with cloths and spars?
Yeah, under the staddles.
Gabriel, I'm on the wreck thatching.
Gabriel, the weather awoke me and I thought of the corn. I'm so distressed about it. Is my husband with you?
No.
Do you know where he is?
Asleep in the barn.
They promised the stack should be seen to. Can I do anything?
Bring me up some reed sheaves, Mom. Every moment is precious. Don't be frightened. It'll fall away from us.
Oh, I'm terrible.
It is only a brightness and a noise. It lights us up like saints on top of our hills here.
Here.
Hold on. I got it. Oh. I must drive spars in. And while I do, you must collect another.
Ah!
Hey, I got you, miss. I got you. Oh. That was a close call. That's lightning out of the chain I put for a conductor. If 'twere for that, 'twould have hit you and I. You see it at that tree?
The tree is quite split.
It may be that we can do no more.
Do you think the storm has passed?
I don't know. I cannot understand no rain falling. But, heaven be praised, it is all the better for us.
Why are not some of the others here?
They're all asleep in the barn.
My husband has brought them to it.
Well, you need not stay aloft, Mom.
Gabriel.
If you can bring up a few more, it would save some time.
I suppose you thought I went to Bath to be married. I went to Bath to break off with Troy. I was alone in a strange city. I didn't know what to do, and I realized that scandal might seize me for meeting him alone.
Tell me that.
I was coming away when he suddenly said he had seen a woman more beautiful than I, and that his constancy could not be counted on unless I at once became his. I was grieved and troubled and... Well, between jealousy and distraction, I have married him.
To secure this wreck.
I wanted you to know that misunderstanding. Do you want more sheaves?
No. Go indoors now. You're tired.
Thank you for your devotion 1,000 times, Gabriel. I know you are doing your very best for me.
Mr. Boldwood, how are you this morning, sir?
What? Yes, I'm very well. Quite well. Thank you, Oak.
I'm glad to hear it, sir. I've been working to get our wrecks covered and was barely in time. Yours, of course, are safe, sir.
Oh, yes. What did you say, Oak?
Your wrecks are all covered.
No. I forgot to tell the Thatcher to set about it.
And then not a tenth of your corn will come to measure, sir.
Oak, you know that things have gone wrong with me lately. I dare say I am a joke about the parish.
Oh, no, no.
There was no jilting on her part. No, it was made more of by other people than us. I feel a little regret, but no woman ever had power over me for any length of time. And no man ever bested me yet. Nor will. Good morning, Oak.
Good morning, Mr. Boldwood.
In part two of Far From the Madding Crowd by Thomas Hardy, dramatised by Graham White, Bathsheba was played by Alex Tregear, Gabriel Oak by Sean Dooley, and Boldwood by Toby Jones. Sergeant Troy was Patrick Kennedy, Liddy was Lizzie Watts, and Fanny was Hannah John Carman. The maltster was played by Robert Blythe, Jan was Joe Sims, Joseph was Sam Alexander, and Henry was Patrick Brennan. Billy was played by Don Gillet, Kane was Harry Livingston, and Marianne was Amaka Okafor. The musicians were Chris Davis and Laurel Swift, and the sound design was by Colin Guthrie. Far From the Madding Crowd was directed by Jessica Dromgoole.
And the final episode is next Sunday at 3.
A wife oblivious to her husband's world.
I don't even know what we do.
We do business.
A wife confronted by the truth.
We have a few good friends in Parliament who help things go our way.
We bribe them.
We don't need to bribe them, they're us.
The wife of a Neapolitan mafia boss.
You're married to a man who's committed unspeakable crimes, who sucks the lifeblood from this region.
Le Donne. Drama, Monday to Fridays at 10:45 in the morning and 7:45 in the evening.